Well, I promised Ohio and West Virginia would get their own podcasts, and so we're going to do that. I'm actually going to talk all the way through. We're going to talk about Ohio, go through the West Virginia stuff a little bit, and a little bit of Virginia up to Thanksgiving in this podcast, Podcast 879. A lot to talk about, so we're going to get right into it in Podcast 879, the Bob Davis Podcasts. And we're going to start with Ohio. Something happened with Ohio, and I'm going to explain what that is. Well, it is Thanksgiving, and people are eating a lot. And I have to tell you, I plan to eat a lot, and I get very excited about Thanksgiving dinner. Generally, I love all the stuff that Thanksgiving dinner involves. And of course, you watch football. We're going to sit around and watch live PD on television for the entire weekend, which is a great show on A&E, which is just seems like that's all that's on A&E whenever I come to my sister's house. So we're going to be doing that, and that involves lots of potato chips and snacking and things of that nature. And when it's all over, guess what? You're thinking about fitness. So let's talk about fitness for a minute. Yes, there are a lot of big box gyms, places to work out, and I could tell you about Fitness Together in Edina and Maple Grove, but it's better if some of the people that use Fitness Together and their personal trainers and nutrition programs talk about. We're going to hear from Lois, who actually is an athlete and uses Fitness Together. Let's hear what Lois has to say.
So I'm Lois, and I'm a recovering personal trainer. So I've been in the health and fitness industry for 19 years, and you know, I'm experiencing life. You know, I'm an entrepreneur. I have two kids. Life is full. Life is busy. I could train myself, right? I mean, let's be honest, but I don't want to. So for me, it was about finding accountability, professionalism, accessibility, convenience, and really Fitness Together fit all of those things.
Now, to get you started for the holidays, Fitness Together is having a special 10 one-on-one personal training sessions, which include fitness consultation, of course, a movement analysis of comprehensive fitness assessment, including the in-body analyzer, cardio training, including a polar heart rate monitor, and especially nutrition counseling. And they are awesome at that. Fitness Together, private personalized training and nutrition, private training rooms. There's no waiting or distractions, privacy, which is so important, and time efficiency of your workout. Everybody is unique, and they recognize this at Fitness Together. Whether you have a high level of fitness or are just starting out, Fitness Together is for you. Fitness Together in Maple Grove at 763-494-0061, in Edina 952-927-0300, fitnesstogether.com, where you click on the banner at the top of the page at the bobdavispodcast.com. That takes you to a customer interface, which gives you the choice of Maple Grove or Edina. Fitness Together. I had a great trip through Indiana. It was really special, and I'm sitting here in Mobile Podcast Command, got the space heater on, I'm all plugged in, and it's been quite a lot of travel the last few days. And I thought going through Ohio, there would be more for me to say and do and talk about, and there really wasn't. And I want to talk about why. So Route 33 through Ohio. Ohio, especially northern Ohio. So 33, you pick up 33 just about north central Indiana, which is mid central Ohio, and you start working your way down diagonally. It's great if you're headed to the East Coast, because Route 33 takes you all the way down diagonally through Ohio into West Virginia, continues diagonally all across West Virginia, and actually it will take you all the way through to Richmond, Virginia, if you want to stay on 33. There are some twists and turns for the most part. But through Ohio, 33 is interesting because Ohio is very highly developed, and there's especially a ton of traffic on the turnpike in the northern part of the state, which runs through Toledo and Cleveland. And if you'll recall, when I covered the Republican convention in 2016, I took mostly that route. And I used to take that northern turnpike route many times back in the day. Going back, I grew up in Chicago, so we first started on that. We took that route when we went to Washington, D.C., when we moved. And many times I have gone back and forth across that route to visit Chicago. And then later I continue to come down to Virginia and would always go that way. And it's a, you know, it's a turnpike way. It's very industrial. It's very busy through that part of the state. Well, almost all of Ohio is busy because Ohio has a lot of big cities. Obviously, Cleveland, Akron is even a big city now. Columbus, Dayton, Youngstown, you know, even down in the southern part of the state, there's a lot of activity. So Ohio is a very busy state. And what they've done with 33 as you go through Ohio is almost as soon as you pick it up. So, yeah, 33 coming down to St. Mary's and then Wapakoneta, it becomes a superhighway. It becomes an Autobahn at that point. And there are obviously spaces where it's two lane. You come down from St. Mary's and Wapakoneta and head on down to Bellefontaine. And at Bellefontaine, it becomes, again, a freeway, which is what I'm trying to avoid in this trip. And all the way through Marysville, on down through Columbus, it is basically, an interstate. Even though it's a national highway, what's happening is they're building up these roads, and it's kind of irritating. I realize it's essential for these communities as they grow to have their highways updated, just because there's actually parts where you could see the old 33, and this is true in West Virginia as well when you get down through there. So this carries you all the way through Columbus, Ohio. And again, you're angling down through Columbus. The great thing about Columbus, when you're on 33 in Columbus, it literally takes you from the most wealthy parts of Columbus, Ohio to the least wealthy parts of Columbus, Ohio. So you see the whole gamut of where people are economically in Columbus. And of course, Columbus is still, it really now it's become a major city. It always was a big city, but now it's really becoming a major center in the center of the state, Columbus, Ohio. And it's always been. I'm not saying it isn't, but it's very interesting to see. Again, they've got the downtown development. There's Germantown, which one of my guests, the Fitness Together guy, John Unverzot, talked about growing up there and living there. And that's developing. And that's way on the other side. I actually was going to stop and do yoga, but they were closed for the day at Modo Yoga right there on 33 as you're coming through the city. And then I'm going to turn the page here, and I'm following along because at this point it was pouring down rain on my trip. And I thought, oh, I'm going to record all this stuff coming down from Columbus down into Lancaster and Nelsonville and Athens. When you get to Athens, and I was going to come down 33, and I did. I came down 33 out of Athens into West Virginia, coming into West Virginia at Ravenswood. Well, it was pouring down rain this entire time. So in Columbus, it was pouring down rain. Coming out of Columbus, it was pouring down rain. And so if you're on 33, you're coming down 33, and this entire part of the trip is, again, on what can only be described as, an interstate, even though it's not technically an interstate. It's not 77 or 70. It's almost like that. And there are portions of two lane, but most of it is four lanes divided by medium. It looks like, an interstate, which wasn't my intent. The other thing is the rain. When you're traveling in the rain and it gets. I stopped in Athens, and I think I referred to this in the last podcast a little bit. This chaotic search for a plug became this obsession in Athens. Finally, I gave up and I continued to. I just decided, well, I'm not going to stay in Athens. I'm just going straight through West Virginia. Now, remember, it's getting later and later in the evening, so I hauled ass down 33 right around what appears to be. What is the name of that town? I mean, I'm cheating because I'm looking at the map. Pomeroy, and coming all the way down to Ravenswood. By the time I got to Ravenswood, all I wanted to do was find a truck stop. So that's when I got to the Loves, and I spent the night in the Loves truck stop. That's where the West Virginia part of this trip starts. So Ohio turned out to be much less eventful than I thought it was going to be. I think I had in my mind this picturesque sort of summertime trip through Ohio. And that part of 33 was just not very interesting, actually. It may have been the weather. It may have been the time of year. I will say that the landscape of West Virginia is a surprise every time you drive through. It doesn't matter whether you drive through on the interstate, doesn't matter whether you drive through the southern part of the state, the northern part of the state, but Virginia is just physically, you know, geographically and in terms of terrain, it's just a standout state. And when it comes to this Route 33, so US 33, it kind of cuts across the middle part of the state. So if you come in at Ravenswood, it's going to take you all the way across the middle of the state, up over the mountains. You're going to go through Elkins, which I talk about. I keep referring to it as Elkin. And then you're going to come across the Appalachians there and come down and go on into Virginia at 33. And I have to say that this part of the trip was really worth the price of admission. I loved what I saw in Indiana. And Ohio was interesting, and Iowa is interesting, and southern Minnesota, southwestern Minnesota, of course, is always interesting when you're rolling out. But West Virginia is just an unbelievable place, and this Highway 33 takes you across the state through Harmon to Seneca Rocks. You come through Judy Gap and you come across the border there at 33, right down by Judy Gap. You do have to be really careful to follow the signs. You do not want to get lost. I did get lost at one point in West Virginia, and that was actually Virginia. And this is an interesting quick aside. I came across the border to get here. I'm actually recording this in Virginia, and I was getting close to my destination, and I had to do I had to call in an audible because I decided to come to my sister's house instead of my mom's house first. And so my mom lives about an hour away from my sister, and I was actually passing close through, so I cut across from 33, it took a couple of turns and twists and thought I could get over to Route 60, which runs right through my sister's town, by simply going down this county road. And I actually found the Waltons' actual house. Remember the show The Waltons? Well, it's here in Virginia, and I always thought that was West Virginia, but actually apparently it was Virginia. And I actually found the state road tour road that goes right past the Waltons' house, and found the Waltons' house. And then I had to take so that's where this state route ended, and I was trying to get to this other town where you don't even need to know. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful trip at this point. And I thought, this is going to be perfect. I'm going to cut right over and I'll be there. Bang, I'll be at this town and I'll be 5 miles from 60, and boom, I'll be on it. And I couldn't get through. It looked like it went through on the map, but it didn't go through. So then I thought, well, I've got to get back to this main route to get back to this state highway to cut over to get back to 60. And I, Route 60, you know, Virginia 60. So I took a left, and the scenic highway ended abruptly, and I got on a simple blacktop road. There was no line down the middle or anything, just room for two cars, basically. Drove down that. Then it became a dirt road. Then it became a rutted dirt road. Then it became a logging road. You know what that is. I mean, I was really worried I was going to bottom this thing out, but the ambulance just, and the reason I mention it is the ambulance, in terms of a platform, I just, you know, rolled right over all that stuff very easily, went very slow, and I was like, if I have to turn around, I'm not going to be able to turn around, you know, so I couldn't turn around because it was too narrow, so I just had to keep going, and I went and went and went, and I was like, this is getting serious, I may have to back out, and if I have to back out and there's another one car behind me, there's nothing I can do. And just at that point, I came up to the main county road, which led to which finally took me to the state road, which took me to the Route 60, and I got here to my sister's farm easily. So that was very lucky that happened. Where was I? I guess that was quite a departure from the whole subject. But I guess I was saying that in West Virginia, you have to be careful on these roads. You have to pay attention to the signs. So that means you have to stop, double check, make sure you're on 33 the whole way through, because 33 is on, connects up and becomes other routes until you get across and get to the final border crossing there into Virginia at somewhere around Judy Gap. So that's the part of it. The only thing I will say is this: it is really a beautiful drive up into some of those mountains. It had snowed. It was brilliant, bright sunshine. It was warm. It was white. The trees, you know, have been changed, and most of their leaves are gone. You can see up the sides of the hills. Really a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful trip. I can't imagine taking it in the summer. I mean, I would love to take that same trip in the summer. When you had the long days and the state and the national parks are open. I mentioned there's a couple of national forests there. There's a state forest there. So West Virginia really was the standout of this trip. It's the most spectacular part of the trip that I've taken. So hats off to West Virginia. Now, in the second half of this podcast, you're going to hear a quick summary of West Virginia, and you're going to hear a little bit of Thanksgiving stuff and a little bit about Virginia, and then we're going to close out right here in Mobile Podcast Command. Well, driving all over the country, you know, I got to tell you, I see one piece of real estate after another that I would love to have. Here's the thing about buying or selling real estate. The first question you got to ask yourself is, do you have a good real estate lawyer? Whether it's the first house, a lake home, rental property, whether you're downsizing or upsizing, you may have found the perfect place and you're heading to the close, but you forgot one really important step, and that is, do you have an attorney at the close? Do you know what you are signing? And this is where Tim LaCroix at LaCroix Law comes in. Tim LaCroix has the experience and knowledge, especially for first-time home buyers or for people who haven't bought a house for a while. Guess what? You are a first-time home buyer again, because real estate is complex these days. People often, as I have said, and Tim LaCroix says this all the time, people often, when they are handed a pen, they just sign, and they don't think about what they are signing because they don't understand it. So that's why the most important step is to have an attorney who knows what they're doing, and that is Tim LaCroix. LaCroix Law, real estate attorneys, residential, commercial, contractor and construction, residential rentals, mortgage and community association. Call Tim LaCroix at 763-226-0758. That's 763-226-0758. Also, if you click on the banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com, that takes you to Tim's LinkedIn page, and you can communicate with them there. LaCroix Law. Thanksgiving means you have relatives in the house. You start looking around and thinking about how you can update your kitchen, finish the basement, or finally finish out the garage so that you can have a decent escape plan for next year's holidays. Additions, especially after the holidays, take a lot of planning to be ready for a spring or summer build. If this is you, I can recommend Whitetail Builders. They are fantastic. Randy Graybaugh is one of the great contractors in the sense that he pays very close attention to details, and he will be with you every step of the way. So let me give you some numbers. You can call Randy personally at 612-282-8801, 612-282-8801. They're focused on the details, or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Whitetail Builders, helping you construct your dreams. Arrived into West Virginia last night at Ravenswood, swung down to Ripley for the Love's Truck Stop, hung out in the Love's Truck Stop for a while, like, you know, almost 12 hours, at least 12 hours, because I slept late. I got up at 9 o'clock, and then I had to blog up the podcast. So I produced a podcast last night, went to sleep, and then blogged it up this morning, which this is like, you know, 8 hours of work. So, and that was a difficult podcast because there were so many pieces of it. And all through Minnesota and Iowa. And then, of course, podcast 878. Indiana and Ohio. The reason that I stopped is that West Virginia may end up being the adventure of the adventures, because West Virginia, it's a beautiful sunny day, just gorgeous. It's about 45 degrees out there, and I'm going to go on 33 East, and I'm going to be cutting through parts of West Virginia, which I keep saying Virginia. Actually, West Virginia used to be a part of Virginia before the Civil War, but West Virginia, I'll be heading through parts of West Virginia that are pretty remote, especially when I get close to the Virginia line. We're talking about really back roads and mountain roads, so this is going to be quite an adventure as I head out from Ripley on 33 East, headed towards the Virginia border. It's going to take me down, up and down and through the mountains and hills of West Virginia, which probably deserves its own podcast. So here we go. We are in West Virginia. When I step out of Mobile Podcast Command into this beautiful sunshine at the end of November 2019 and walk ahead of the vehicle, I hear a little mountain turnout on Shenandoah Mountain, and now I'm standing in Virginia, so we're right on the border. And so this is a perfect time for me to summarize, because I haven't yet, West Virginia, which I am just enchanted with. I think West Virginia is a really interesting, really cool place in so many ways. And I'm not talking about Charleston and Parkersburg, which have their own charm, right? But I'm talking about up here in the mountains. This is Shenandoah Mountain, 3,500 feet. There are other mountains in West Virginia that have similar elevations. And West Virginia is just amazing. So here's the thing. I highly recommend 33 East. And I really recommend the people, if you're going to take this trip, that you just... You take 33 East down through Ohio, which, as I did, it angles southeast down through Ohio. You're kind of doing the whole western migration in the United States in reverse. And you come down through Ohio and you jump on 77 and you pick up 33. As you know, I stayed in a Walmart parking lot in Ohio and close to the border there, because you can't drive at night around here. First of all, at this time of the year, you've got deer issues all over the place. Second of all, in this kind of weather, so fall, late fall, early winter, you know, these hairpin curves and so forth are difficult. So this road is in really good shape, 33 East all the way through West Virginia. It's great, but we're talking about 10% grades, 7% grades, 6% grades, up and down, you know, hairpin curves that have speed limits of 25 or 15 miles an hour. You know, I don't think I got over 40 the first part of the trip until I got towards the eastern edge of the state this morning. So it's, you know, and you, there are all kinds of really cool towns. There's college towns, ski towns, you know, coal towns, very, very poor towns. And one of the sad things is, you know, West Virginia had a lot of architecture from the Civil War era, and you know, a lot of old log cabins, things like that, right on the road. So you see these places, but a lot of those places are fading just in terms of time. And what's emerging is the old stuff now, is the 1950s stuff and 1930s stuff. And it's kind of interesting, because you'll pass towns that they're, each of these little hamlets have varying degrees of either poverty or success, you know, or I would hesitate to call it wealth. The largest employer in the state of West Virginia is Walmart, which is, I wouldn't say is a bad thing, but it tells you a little bit about the second largest is a medical public-private partnership in one of these larger towns, Clarksburg or someplace like that. And so that tells you a little something, but West Virginia has had, you know, issues with poverty going back to the Depression and before. And for years, they've tried to put roads through, and they've tried to encourage businesses to come here. But this part of the state doesn't even have a lot of the amenities that, let's say, the capital, Charleston, has, or Parkersburg, with railroads and rivers and things of that nature. This is up in the hills. And you'll see whole villages of 1950s and 60s double-wide trailers that are in various states of disrepair. You will see people that lived in school buses from the 1960s, and the school bus is still sitting there. All kinds of stuff like that. And at the same time, you go through these unbelievably picturesque villages with, you know, Baptist or Episcopal churches or Presbyterian churches. You go through towns with banks that were built in the 1920s and 30s. You go through railroad towns, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's all different. So it's really an amazing place. I mentioned in a previous podcast this town of Glenville. I kept calling it Glenview. It's Glenville, which I thought was a really nice town. And as typical with West Virginia, I was like, well, I'm going to do some research on this because I want to make sure that I'm not, you know, I know something about this. And of course, you look up Glenville, used to be called the Ford, because that's where you could walk across the river there. I don't know what the name of the river was. It doesn't matter. And of course, there's one article after another, you know, in a Google search about the corruption in Glenville. And there's a guy there who owns this company called Waco Oil, which is probably the big guy in town. And you're driving along and you pass a double wide and an old school bus and some other stuff. You come around the corner and here is this really interesting estate. Not a thing out of place in this sort of almost garish mansion, which looks completely out of place, right there along the highway on 33 East, along with all of the, you know, rundown places a little bit further down the road. You know, I don't know whether I believe the bloggers that are talking about corruption, corrupt prosecutors, corrupt mayors, corrupt whatever, state legislators. This is part of the history of West Virginia, like part of the history of Illinois or Louisiana. West Virginia has a long history of political corruption and racism and labor trouble with coal mines, as does Southern Ohio. It's part of the landscape in this state. I have to tell you, I could live here. This is a really enchanting place. You know, you're driving down on a beautiful, you know, November morning from these high elevations where there's still snow on the, it snowed the night before. Just gorgeous. Looking up in the hills and seeing this white snow and mist in the air. And then you come around the corner into, you come down the mountain and the grass is still green and the churches are white and, you know, painted white and there's a sort of a wisp of smoke in the air and there's a little country store and a couple of little barns and that's that little town. Then the next one you come to is a rundown trailer with a Confederate flag and a satellite dish and some other stuff. I mean, it's just amazing. It's not, there's nothing like this anywhere else that I've seen. Maybe Kentucky, but Kentucky doesn't even come close to West Virginia. So, I just think this is a great place. Especially this part. So I'd highly recommend 33 East. You've got you've got a huge national forest, the Monongahela National Forest. I hope I said it right. You've got the George Washington National Forest all through this area. I want to come back in the summer because they're closed. You can't camp in there. And, you know, you've got different camp areas, and some of these resort places are in really good shape and obviously prosperous. And it's just worth seeing in so many ways. So 33 East is just an amazing highway. Now I'm going to jump on 33 East and take it through Virginia. So that's the plan. And then I got to figure out how I'm going to get back to Minnesota. I don't know whether I'm going to go through the Deep South and come back, go through Alabama and Mississippi and South Carolina and northern part of Georgia and North Carolina and then swing up in Arkansas through Missouri. Or whether I'm just going to go through Tennessee the old way that I've gone and maybe pick another way through Tennessee and Kentucky. So, a lot to think about as I get ready to head out for Virginia, which is just a few steps away. So I'm almost to my destination. Let's talk about Virginia. So I'm parked here in a very remote section of Virginia, Western Virginia, and it's utterly quiet. And, you know, it's interesting when I do most of these podcasts, there's always sound in the background. But I want people to just hear for a minute and try to imagine that I'm looking up at a absolutely star-studded, pitch-black sky. But, of course, it's not black. It's starlight. And, obviously, the lights in the truck are on. The truck is off. It's plugged in here at my sister's house. And it's so quiet. Every now and then you see a plane at about 35,000 feet kind of passing over, but you speak kind of in hushed tones, and I'm standing in the lee of the wind here by the truck. You can hear that plane up there. There it is. There's a plane up there about 35,000 feet flying over. The twinkling of the stars.
If I talk loudly,
you can hear my voice echoing. Hear the dogs in the distance. In this kind of quiet, you can hear every single move that I make. The material of my shirt, my shoes, putting my hands in my pocket. It's pretty amazing. But for now, the silence is so therapeutic, and I'm going back in Mobile Podcast Command, and I'm going to chill out for the rest of the night.
Don't forget, printing at the Bob Davis Podcast is powered by Cartridge World because they can get you 30% off the big box stores on your print cartridges. They can also get you a printer if you qualify. Cartridge World in Maple Grove off of Weaver Lake Road between Dairy Queen and Subway. Also Roseville, 763-420-6632. Wherever you are in the country, they can hook you up. So don't forget, Cartridge World. Click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Well, first of all, I want to thank in this podcast the people donating to the Bob Davis Podcast to keep us on the road. Sean, Sue, Jill, and many more, thank you for donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Here's what you do. Just look for the picture of Mobile Podcast Command. Under it, there's a big yellow donate button on the right-hand side of the thebobdavispodcast.com homepage. Click on that, and that takes you through the whole process and whatever you can give if you want. I really, really appreciate it. I am also using my own money for this trip, so I do appreciate it. I appreciate the likes and shares on social media. The main thing is the shares, RTs on Twitter, and again, thanks for your donations for the Bob Davis Podcast at thebobdavispodcast.com for mobile podcasting. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on iTunes, off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, Stitcher, TuneIn, blogtalkradio.com. Thanks for listening to podcast 879, the Bob Davis Podcasts.
Take to the highway, won't you lend me your name? Your way and my way, they seem to be one and the same. Mama don't understand it, she wants to know where I've been. I'd have to be some kind of natural born fool to wanna pass that way again. But you know I could feel it on a country road. Sail on home to Jesus, won't you, good girls and boys? I'm all in pieces, you can have your own choice. But I can hear a heavenly band full of angels, and they're coming to set me free. I don't know.